No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Dennis, today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. This is Just Plane Radio. You know, we got a lot of stuff to cover, despite the fact that we're in holiday mode. But we got to take care of ourselves and our planes. And so today, we're going to kind of, you know, talk a little bit more about Dennis's airplane, his Mooney 20-something. What is it?
201.
201. I got two of them. Two out of three ain't bad.
No, right? for Greg, that's a home run.
Heck yeah, buddy. I'll take it. So, you know, we got to cover some of this maintenance stuff with his new airplane, or relatively new, you know, 6 months old. He has about 60 hours on it. You know, some of the stuff we discuss might apply to you listening, and you may think, hey, I won't make these same mistakes that Dennis makes, if he is indeed making any. Are you?
I haven't made any yet, but I'm definitely learning a lot more. You know, now that you own an airplane, you're much more responsible for the maintenance than just, you know, hey, I'm just going to give me the keys and here it is, send me the bill.
Right.
You know, you don't want to do dumb things. So you want to try to stay on top of and be proactive on maintenance and not be, you know, okay, something's broke and, well, got to bring it to the mechanic and here's my checkbook.
Right. So rule number one, don't do the dumb things, according to Captain Dennis. Which would be, for instance, right now, skipping an oil change.
Correct.
Or
waiting too long on them, even.
Well, and do you, I mean, are there rules like airworthiness rules on an airplane where you have to have the oil changed? Or is it like a car? Like, if you do it, you're on
your
own.
I wouldn't say it's a rule, but it's generally best practices. And it really depends. I mean, depending on the airplane, the engine, if it has an oil filter or not, because believe it or not, some airplanes do not have an oil filter.
Hmm.
And in that case, you're going to want to change that oil sooner.
Yeah.
Everything I've read says, you know, 50 hours on an oil change. But the more I talk to other pilots and people that have flown similar planes, that's way too long.
Well, yeah, I understand that from a maintenance standpoint, but there's no FAA directive that you have to get your oil change or we're not going to allow you to fly, or is there?
No, I haven't seen a rule that says it, but it's just generally an accepted practice
change
the oil.
Well, just like it would be for a car. I mean, if you change the oil in the car, you know, you're asking for trouble after a certain period of time. So, and obviously an airplane is a little bit different animal. You got to stay on top of this kind of stuff. So you've had the plane for 6 months. It was time for your 6 month oil change, or what, 60 hour or 50 hour?
Well, 30. I've been doing 30 hours.
It seems
to me that's, you know, 50 is just too far out, you know, and by that point, you know, you've added a couple quarts of oil to it, and, you know, it's time.
Yeah.
I'd rather replace it early, and, you know, what are you looking at? Six quarts of oil in this airplane.
Right.
And a filter. I mean, we're talking less than $50 in material.
Maybe you could extend it a little bit with that, like synthetic type stuff. You know, the AMSOIL.
They don't allow synthetic in the airplanes.
Really?
Yep, they tried it, and it didn't work out a number of years ago. So I do run a multi-grade, though, but you have to be careful with an airplane engine because it's air-cooled. The temperatures are higher than in your car.
Yeah.
So the additives that they put in your automotive oil to hold all the contaminants in suspension and extend the life of that oil, those burn and turn to ash and clog up the galleys and the oil and things like that. So you need to use an aviation oil that's designed for the temperatures and the way that we run these engines.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not hard. I mean, Phillips and Shell make very, very good products.
Right. Well, what is the recommended time frame for an oil change for your Mooney?
For my Mooney, most people say 50 hours. And like I said, I want to lean on the low side of that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going for 30 to 35 hours.
Okay.
And it seems to be good. The oil's coming out. Seems to be in good shape. It's not super black and, you know, full of carbon. And so, but one of the things I found was very smart is oil analysis.
Yeah.
So what you do is when you're changing that oil, you take a sample cup and capture a couple ounces of it and send it out to a lab. And what they do is run it through their machines and basically do a spectrographic analysis. And they can actually tell you what contaminants are in that oil.
Yeah, you know, it was pretty funny. Dennis sends me this text this week with a picture of his oil analysis. Hey, look what I just got. My Mooney is awesome, dude. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And then I talked to you and you said, yeah, you actually got a printout on your oil, which is, I guess you could do this for your car too. But
well, the race car kids do it all the time because they want to know, you know, do we have some bearings that are going bad or piston rings, things like that.
Is that piece of my transmission in the bottom of this oil?
You find that in your engine oil, that's a real problem.
Well, true. But you know what I'm saying. So, yeah, yes. He was pretty excited about it. But, you know, is this something you're just going above and beyond? Not every aviator would do this, would they?
Well, I don't know why they don't. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, the peace of mind that this is giving me right now is priceless, and especially considering that the test is, you know, way less than $20. I think I bought two kits for like $25 or something like that. So you take your sample, you mail it off to them, and they send you the results back within 3 to 5 days.
Hmm. Did you do it yourself, or is that something you have to have your mechanic do?
Nope. I did the oil change myself this time, too. As an owner, I can legally do that. And so it was kind of fun taking the cowls off and, you know, putting the hose on there and draining the oil out and getting the oil filter off and putting a new one on and safety wiring it and checking everything. And yeah, it was a fun little weekend project.
Fun project. And then you found out your oil looked good. There wasn't anything that was in there that wasn't supposed to be. And that made you feel just that much better about how the plane's running.
Well, if you remember the history of this airplane, when I bought it, there was a few minor unknowns. The airplane had been sitting for almost a year. The previous owner had stopped flying it for whatever reason and finally decided to sell it. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the worst thing you can do to an airplane is to not fly them. Those engines sit, the oil drains down, eventually you don't have a film of oil protecting things like the cam, and they could, you know, start to rust, which then creates wear, which, you know, all of a sudden now you're looking at an engine overhaul.
Right.
So I was, you know, kind of concerned, what were we going to see? You know, they had the mechanics look at it, and they felt pretty comfortable. We had heard that the previous owner had come out and run it a few times, but not flown it. So we were kind of hoping that he did the right things, and now we have some numbers to back that up.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had heard that he did the right thing, hadn't you, when you bought it?
Well,
or no?
We hoped, you know, just going out and running the engine can sometimes be counterproductive, because if you don't get it warm enough, you're not going to burn off any moisture that's in the oil, and you'll actually just make it worse and accelerate the rusting.
Hmm.
So we had an oil change done shortly before we came down to visit you back in around Labor Day, and we sent that sample out and got the numbers back. I'm like, okay. Well, we didn't have anything to base it on, so we just had a set of numbers. Now, you know, here we are a couple months later with another set of numbers, and what we're seeing is overall that the trend is low. The amount of iron we have was a little bit less. We're seeing a little less chromium, which would be an indication of, like, your rings wearing. Mm-hmm. So it's good. That means we may have had a little bit of rust or something in the engine, but it's probably by flying it, we've scraped that away, and the amount of iron is going down. And all of the other trace metals are looking fantastic.
Well, there you go. What about mechanically doing this? You described what it was. How long did it take you to do all that stuff when you changed it?
How long should it, or how long did it?
Well, both.
It should have taken me about 2 hours.
Okay.
But it was one of those things where it was, kind of like Laurel and Hardy out there.
Yeah.
We went to go fly the airplane on a Wednesday to get the engine warmed up. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out some idiot may have left the overhead lights on in the airplane to run the battery down. So that involved having to charge the battery back up so that we could go fly it the next day. And then with the hose I bought was the wrong size, because the great thing about an airplane, you don't have to go and take a bolt off the bottom and have oil splash all around. Ours has got a quick little fitting, like a garden hose. You just push a hose onto that fitting, it unlocks it, and the oil starts to flow down into your little catch bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I bought what I thought was the right size from the hardware store. I was wrong.
Uh-huh.
I had to go make a run to the store and buy a new piece of hose, come back, and... Yeah,
man. But now you got it.
But now I got it.
The idiot that left the light on—that was you, or Austin? you don't want to say? Okay.
No, it was me. I'll admit it.
All right.
Me. I can't blame it on the kid. But, you know, the Mooney's kind of unique. Most airplanes, you can't get your overhead lights or anything on unless your master switch is on.
Mm-hmm.
The Mooney, for convenience, actually has two switches on the overhead, so you can actually turn the lights on without having this, you know, power up the whole plane and have your gyro start spinning. On the other hand, it's easy to forget to throw that switch,
yes.
too.
Well, you learned the long way, or the hard way. Yep. About how convenient that feature really is.
Right. And I'm going to be checking inside the windows every time I shut the hangar.
And, well, it just happens. You know, yeah. That's okay.
You'll learn.
Right. Yeah, eventually. Well, I'm going to learn from Dennis's mistakes. And then by the time I get it, I'll make none. That's what I say now. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Hey, Griswold, where do you think you're going to put a tree that big? Bend over and I'll show you.
Let's get away from sleigh bells. Let's get away from snow. Let's make or break some Christmas, dear. I know the place to go. How'd you like to spend Christmas on Christmas Island?
Ooh, that sounds nice. You'd have to fly to get there, though.
How'd you like to spend the holiday away across the sea?
Oh, I like this idea. This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, a co-pilot, and Captain Dennis rounding out today's cruise through the latest aviation news and information. I don't know. Have you ever been to Christmas Island? There's a couple of them out there.
I'm hoping it's in the Bahamas.
Well, you know, there's I know there's one in the Pacific, and I'm trying to think if there's one in the Caribbean. I think there's two that I'm aware of. You know, I talked about going there years ago, and then I just kind of forget about it. I'm going to spend Christmas in Curacao, so you know that it's close enough for me because the Dutch celebrate Christmas earlier than the rest of us, like December 5th. So I'm going to go down there and see what's going on with all that
Santa
stuff.
So Santa going to visit you twice, right?
Well, I'll tell you how it all went next week.
I think Ed said last week he was going to bring you coal twice.
Well, that's true. But, you know, it's like a week-long celebration that starts the 5th and goes through, and I'm going to be there for part of it. So we'll see what happens, and I'll report back accordingly. All right, so you got your oil change for your Mooney 201, and you were happy with the results. It gave you a little more data, you know, to see that the engine is performing well. And where do you go from here? Are you just going to keep monitoring this? Or what can you do with this information as far as, I don't know, apply it to other stuff that you're doing with your plane?
Well, I think it's one piece of the maintenance equation. You know, understanding what's going on, you know, from the oil, that tells you some of how the engine's wearing. And, you know, it hopefully will talk to you and tell you, you know, hey, look, you've got a bearing that's maybe going bad, or maybe there's a bushing for a valve in a cylinder that you can look at and actually get in there and, you know, have a mechanic look at it before it causes you a problem in flight.
Well, would the engine monitor that you were talking about getting a couple weeks ago, would that be more than just this oil change, or would you use those in
conjunction?
That's
definitely going to be a complement to this. I mean, this is only one piece. This is going to catch, you know, just some wearing, but where an engine monitor could come in handy is actual, you know, in-flight collecting information. How is the engine performing? There's a company called Savvy Analysis that has actually found, by taking the data that's collected by these engine monitors, they're able to predict failures. Hmm. They actually found a pattern in all of these different engine monitors that would reveal when an exhaust valve was burning.
Nice.
And causing a problem. They actually went and mined that data then and looked for other customers that were experiencing that same pattern, called them up and said, hey, get your airplane to your mechanic. Have them pull a spark plug out and take a scope in there and look and check your valves. And sure enough, they were able to predict and see the early indications of valve burning. So the customer was able to get in, get the valve replaced, get the seat, you know, either reground or whatever needed to do so that valve is closing correctly, and prevented, you know, potentially a loss of power or maybe even a complete engine failure.
Hmm. Now, I know you have one of these engine monitors on your Christmas list.
And, I do.
We'll see how that evolves.
And I'm hoping Santa's going to come up, you know, deliver the right gifts this year.
Well, how involved is an install on something like that anyway? Isn't that pretty intense, I would imagine?
It's probably a whole day with your mechanic, because you are going to have to go in and, you know, in my case, the Mooney has got really basic monitoring. It's only got one probe in the exhaust system to measure the exhaust temperature, which gives you an idea of, you know, do you have the engine leaned properly for best performance or best economy? Mm-hmm. But I'm only checking one cylinder. Is that the one that's getting hottest or coolest first? We don't know. Same thing with the cylinder head temperatures. We're only monitoring one cylinder, and it's a rear cylinder, not the one that's out front where it's getting the most cooling air. So we don't know, are we, you know, potentially running these cylinders too hot, or are they not hot enough? Collecting more information and understanding more about what the engine's doing in flight would be really helpful.
Right. Well, and especially if you're into that stuff. And Dennis is kind of an airplane nerd when it comes to the technical side of things. That's a compliment. Don't get me wrong.
The more information you have, though, the less likely you are to cause damage to the airplane, too. I mean, if you run the engine too lean, you risk overheating the cylinders and cause cylinder cracking, which, you know, causes expensive repair bills.
Okay.
So it actually can wind up saving you money in the long run.
Well, there you go. Well,
the one that I'm looking at has got some technology called Auto Lean, where it's scanning and will tell you when you've hit the right point and level. It makes it really easy for you to just, you know, get the mixture set exactly right.
This is all right. You're in the sweet spot. Whoa, yes. And then, like, is your audible thing of, like,
I don't know if it goes woohoo or anything, but you got graphs that are easy to interpret across the dash.
Ought to be like the When Harry Met Sally scene with
right. I'll have what she's having.
Yes, yes. You know, and it goes off right, and whatever. That would be a colorful alarm. But anyway, all right. Well, that's good stuff. I really hope your Christmas wishes come true there, Dennis.
And so
we'll see how that progresses here over the next couple of weeks. We do have to cover some drone news, though, that, you know, it's just part of the thing we do here at Just Plane Radio, because they become more and more, issues that we got to deal with. I know you have a report that just said that drones are going to be Or what, they're causing more damage potentially already than bird strikes?
Well,
or what
the FAA just published a study that apparently they've had a consortium of university researchers doing studies on the types of damage that can be inflicted on airplanes and comparing it to what we're seeing already with birds. And as you've seen, you know, birds are nothing to mess with. Take the Miracle in the Hudson flight, for instance. But a drone of similar size to a bird will actually inflict more damage on the airplane. The materials are harder. They don't bend and flex as much as fleshy, squishy birds do.
Mm.
And so they're concerned, you know, where, you know, an airplane hits a bird, the bird might dent the leading edge and bounce off. With a drone, it potentially could puncture into the structures and you know, really weaken the airframe.
Sure. Well, and then when you start adding things like, you know, Amazon delivering books, you know, with drones and stuff like that, that could be a problem if you have a collision with one of those things and it's trying to deliver some item.
Or even worse, AAA delivering you a gas can to your car on the side of the road, right?
That would be even worse, I would say. Yeah, flammable materials flying through the air with drones and colliding with airplanes. Not a good mix.
Sounds like a Michael Bay movie in the
yeah.
making, right?
You know, right now we get that 55-pound limit or something for commercial drones, but they're already looking at ways to modify that. AT&T just got approved for the Flying Cow. Have you heard about this?
Yep, the cell on wings or something.
The cell
like that.
On wings. Yeah, I don't know if they picked the right acronym for that. You know what I'm saying? But they're calling it the Flying Cow, and
well,
I'm like,
I like it. I fly a Mooney.
Well, you know, you know, when pigs fly, maybe, but a flying cow. I will tell you what they're using it for.
San Juan loves them.
Yeah, there you go. In Puerto Rico, he already beat me to the punch. More coming up on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Craig, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Dennis, and now we are joined for the holidays from Captain Clay. It's nice to have you aboard there, Clay. How are you, buddy?
It is so good to be back. It has been a long time.
It has been. You've been busy. Yeah, you have no time for us. Which
yeah,
I,
well, you guys have nothing to do either, I'm sure.
So. Well, and we missed you down in the Turks and Caicos. It was not the same without you.
I know it.
He heard all about it, though. And
I'm sure JF was giving him daily updates going, dude, I'm glad you're not here.
Clay filed the proper paperwork with the authorities and all that kind of stuff. So, but we'll save it.
But they still let you in.
It is shocking. You know, it's amazing what you can do with a $5 bill these days.
Really?
Anyway, welcome aboard, and Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, being that it is that time of holiday, you know, just this festive season, I figure, you know, this would be an appropriate time to allow you to vent, to work off any frustration. And,
well, wouldn't this be more like Festivus, you know, the airing of grievances?
Well, maybe it is, because, yeah, Clay has some pet peeves he'd like to get off his chest, or at least inform everybody about, you know, he's like, hey, we got to change this. Is that what you're thinking, Clay, or what?
You know, there's all sorts of things. When I think about, you know, things that I would like to you know, bitch, whine, and moan about as far as flying is concerned. You know, sometimes it's a long list.
Yeah, and
you know,
tis the season to bitch, whine, and moan, I think.
Exactly.
So I think it's only appropriate we should handle some of those. And Dennis, I'm guessing you have some of them as well.
Oh, I've got a list.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Me, I really have none.
Well, you have to go out to the airport first,
yeah,
don't you?
First, you have to fly.
Well, that's true, but I'm guessing
and pay the bills when you do so.
You know, there may be a line item on both Clay's list and Dennis's list that just includes me. is that a possibility?
Again, I'm going to take the fifth.
Okay. Well, Merry Christmas to me. That's right. I know I'm on Ed and Keith's list, but it's not a pet peeve list. It's a
It's You're just list. On their list.
Yeah, I'm in one of those four-letter word lists. And but, you know, I just learned to live with it. More coming up. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him. I know him.
But I saw Santa in his bathing suit, trying to catch a wave, but he tried too soon. He laughed so hard that he could barely breathe and washed up next to me. He said, "You look naughty, but I'm sure you're nice." He was soaking wet, but he cracked a smile with a present in his hand. He said, "It's Christmas in the sand. Christmas in the sand."
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, along with Captain Dennis and Captain Clay, helping us out as well. And since it is the season to bitch, whine, and moan, we figure we should address some of those. And just let, if nothing else, let Captain Clay vent. So, Merry Christmas, or I don't know.
Happy Festivus.
There's something wrong about this, but, you know, that's just what we do. You know, you hear what I'm saying, Clay?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You know, I just woke up in a mood this morning. It was okay. One of those things.
Well, you know, the holidays can do that to you every now and then. So exactly. Why not vent? You know, exactly. Lay down on the Just Plain Radio Therapy couch and let it out. So what are some of the pet peeves that have been getting you?
You know, one of the great things about flying, and I fly cross country at least half a dozen times a year generally. I mean, and I'm talking from, you know, Wyoming to Florida or down into the Caribbean, as you know, or something like that. But
right.
One of the wonderful things about doing that is stopping at these little no-name, well, they obviously have names, but little airports that have, you know, an FBO and, you know, maybe it's a city-owned, county-owned, whatever, little gas stop, and mm-hmm. Just seeing the wonderful people and talking about airplanes. And there are so many of those. And then there are the others, you know, places that you stop that sort of rape you for landing fees and, you know, handling fees, even though they didn't do anything and all that.
Yeah, and, that's annoying, isn't it?
Dennis, back me up on this.
Oh, I'm right with you on that. I mean, I took a 15-minute ride across Minneapolis to one of the North Metro airports, which is owned by the Metropolitan Airports Commission, so it's a publicly owned airport, and the FBO that runs it up there charged me a $15 ramp fee just to show up.
Yeah, that's just annoying.
All I wanted to do is go inside and get a little rubber stamp in my logbook to prove I was there.
Right. Yeah, and the problem
now
is,
you've got a receipt to prove that you
exactly.
were there.
It's like, it's just so uncalled for. I mean, I'm based at another MAC-owned airport, and I pay hangar rent to the MAC, so now I got to pay you a tithe up there to go use the ramp too. It's gotten a little out of hand.
Yes.
If you would like to feel royally abused, take your Mooney to Turks and Caicos sometime.
Oh, really?
I would love to, but yes, I'm aware that you will have to tithe everyone along the way.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, and I'm not too far off if I'm wrong, but I believe it's a $450 bill even before you get fuel.
Ouch.
And that's for Her Majesty's Customs Service, Her Majesty's Immigration Service, overtime if you leave early or late.
Well, if it was only the
Turks. Which is any time outside of 11 to 1.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
If it was only the Turks, it would be like $225. But since it's the Turks and Caicos, they got to exactly. double it maybe? I don't know.
Exactly.
Is insane, though.
It is.
They just make it so cost prohibitive for people to want to go to some of these places sometimes when they do that. And they just, I mean, they just think, oh, he has a plane. He has plenty of money. Let's take it. He won't whine. But I think we're here to prove that aviators can bitch, whine, and moan like the best of them. Am I right?
You know what I do now, instead of stopping in Turks, if I don't have to go to Provo, mm-hmm. if I'm not going to see that boat, then I I'll stop in Great Exuma because they've got cheaper fuel, and you know, it's, I think, $20 to land and clear out. You know, so $20 total fees, and from there I can make it all the way to San Juan.
Are you writing this down, Craig? I think we need to keep this in mind for our future plans.
Well, I know. Last time...
No, write it down, Dennis. Don't expect Craig to pay any of the bills.
Well, he's at least going to go figure out what islands we can go to along the way.
Well, that's why we have the Just Plain Radio podcast. I can just go back and listen to this. You don't want to bother taking notes. But when we flew to the Turks and Caicos last time, Clay, when I annoyed you for a trip throughout the Caribbean, that was... Zuma wasn't an option for us, was it? We had to go to Provo.
Well, we were going to Provo anyway.
Yeah.
So that was the big deal. And you know, to be fair to you, Greg, you weren't annoying me.
Well,
you were annoying everybody that you were calling with a sat phone.
That's true. Me. That is true. But yeah, what are you going to do at 11,000 feet when you have a satellite phone?
Look for traffic and help navigate.
No, you're going to call all your friends. Dude, I'm at 11,000 feet. Pick up your damn phone.
Really?
Yeah, but
have you tried flying into any of the other Turks and Caicos airfields? I mean, there's not just Provo. There's some of the others. You know, Grand Turk's got one. There's one in the middle there somewhere in.
Well, generally, if I stop, I've got to go to Provo, but you have to clear into either, I believe, certainly Provo and possibly Grand Turk before you go anywhere else.
Well, I would think. That $450 fee probably is, doesn't it have like a 3 or 6 month window or something? I mean, you don't have to pay it every
3 to 6 hour window, probably.
Do you got to pay it every single time?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a landing fee. I believe a landing fee is a small portion of that, but mostly it's customs and immigration fees and government fees.
Mm.
Just to visit there.
Yeah, that's no fun. Okay. Yeah. Well, all right. Anyway, that's one pet peeve. Gosh, we only covered one.
Oh, I've got more. Would you like to hear another?
Why not? Let's go ahead and get it out there.
People spend thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
To become a private pilot. True. And learn how to land airplanes and navigate and deal with weather and all that. And still, a large percentage of them, far more than I think should be possible given the average intelligence of the human race, do not understand the difference between airspeed and ground speed.
Okay.
Have you noticed that, Dennis?
Well,
what, 250 knots below 10,000, or
no? They just do not understand if they are flying along and they say their plane's really fast and they show you a picture of their ground speed.
Oh, right, yeah,
and they don't understand that they had a 180 knot tailwind or something like that.
Or in my case, I've got a great picture of the Mooney coming back from Florida where we were doing 160 knots and my GPS is showing 90. That's
exactly. Exactly.
I do understand that relationship.
Yes. It goes both ways. So yeah.
People say, well, you know, if I lean to such and such, then I'll do, you know, a 160 knots. And then they show a picture of their GPS showing 160 knots. And it's like, no, that's not the same. Anyway,
show me your airspeed indicator.
Yeah, exactly. That's just one of my pet peeves.
Okay. So they just don't understand that because you have a tailwind or a headwind, that's going to affect how fast you're flying compared to ground speed. Is that what you're
saying? Exactly. Okay. Ground speed is independent of airspeed.
Yes. Yeah, you got to work with that wind. Hopefully it'll be in your favor.
Exactly.
What do they say? May the wind be at your back or tailwind something. What is that thing that they always say when they're wishing you well?
Air winds and following seas.
Okay, we'll go with that one.
That's in sailing, but
that works.
It does. All right. Well, I can see that. You know, that's just part of being in the club. When you're dealing with a non-aviator, and then they throw in little terminology things where they're not quite there, and you know you got them. He's like, come on, you idiot, quit it. I get that look a lot. But I can understand that being a pet peeve. So, Dennis, do you have any, or are you just a happy-go-lucky aviator?
No, there's some pet peeves I've found, you know, now owning an airplane. I think back to the previous owners and go, what were you thinking? You know, people being cheap.
Yeah.
In my Mooney, they installed at the time, a state-of-the-art King GPS.
Okay.
And that's all they did. They installed the GPS. They didn't hook it to the autopilot. They didn't hook it to an indicator. They didn't complete the job.
Hmm.
Now, I can't file, you know, GPS Direct because it's not a certified installation. So I'm either going to have to put a bunch of money into a 20-year-old GPS or basically throw the whole thing out, because right now it's pretty much a useless paperweight. Hmm. You know, it gives me a good ground speed indication, but I can't legally use it to fly IFR.
Yeah, you can impress people like Clay.
Yeah. Really?
Without annoying them. And but yeah, I would imagine the install of a new one would be about the same as trying to get this one fixed. Is that kind of what you're realizing? Or
yeah, the actual install cost is probably about the same, except I don't have to go out and I have to actually go out and buy a new radio, mm-hmm. which is...
Do you have an autopilot?
I do, actually. Not connected to it either.
Yeah. But is it, I mean, is it a decent autopilot?
It's serviceable. It's a Century 21 with heading hold, and it can do localizers and back courses. And then they also added an S. Yeah, it'll do with glide slope as well.
Well, Century 21, it also can sell your house for you or something, right?
But I've also got altitude hold, which I'll tell you what, makes long flights very convenient.
That was one of the comments that kind of annoyed Dennis and Clay, you know, when you make comments like that. I just want to illustrate.
I just ignore them.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Have you ever seen a diver down flag floating on top of the water? Well, I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you what this means whether you're diving or not next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
In the U.S., a red flag with a diagonal white stripe through it means diver down. It's a badge of honor when seen on a diver's shirt, hat, bumper sticker, and the like. However, when you see a dive flag on the water, boaters should stay at least 300 feet away, while divers stay within 150 feet of their flag. It's the law in some areas and just good sense in order to prevent injury by prop and vessel strikes. Dive into DAN.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
For takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Can I refill your eggnog for you? Get you something to eat? Drive you out to the middle of nowhere? Leave you for dead?
Christmas is the time to say I love you.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Dennis and Captain Clay helping us out. Merry Christmas to you. Hopefully it's treating you well. We're getting a few things off our chest, some pet peeves. And I was talking to Clay during the commercial break. You know, he flies a Piper Saratoga. And I said, hey, did you hear us talking about the high-wing, low-wing fly-off that AOPA was featuring in their magazine and on the show last week as well? And he said, yeah, I saw it. And it sounded like you had another pet peeve right then and there.
Don't get me started.
Well, I should. I want to. I want to, like, you know, rub a little salt in the wound. Yeah, because, you know, your Piper Saratoga is low wing. They were using a Bonanza
They basically got two out of three of the of the big six seat single entrance. I mean, I think there are others. Like Extra has some and all that, but those are fairly marginal players. Mm-hmm, but certainly mm-hmm. Piper, Beach, and Cessna are the three major ones.
But the high wing outperformed the low wing Bonanza. And when I was looking at it, I was thinking of Clay because I was like, hey, his plane's pretty nice. And that was one thing I pointed out to Ed last week. I said, look, they had their categories of stall speeds and short field landings or whatever and all that kind of stuff. But isn't the Bonanza way more plush on the inside than one of these Cessna things that we were revamped? And thinking of your plane, the Saratoga, I mean, that thing is like a limo inside. It's very nice. So I was like, they ought to have a category for that at the bare minimum. Comfort, right?
Well, you'd think. I mean, the Cessna, as I recall, the Cessna is a little bit wider than the Bonanza.
Yeah.
By like an inch. I think the Saratoga is like 4 inches wider, which actually doesn't sound like much, but it makes a big difference.
Hey, if you got a big air,
I think pretty much seats can be redone, interiors can be redone, and everything at this point when you're talking about 40-year-old airplanes pretty much is either completely ratted out or been redone. Mm. So the interior comfort is one thing, ergonomics are, of course, a different question. But, I personally like the Saratoga for value for the dollar and how it performs. I think the Cessna was a little bit better in terms of short field performance.
Right.
Although, from what I understand, the gear is a little bit spindly on those. I have no experience in Cessna 210s.
Well, I think Ed was talking about that a little bit.
Yeah, you can land it hard, but you don't want to do that too many times. Otherwise, you're landing it really hard.
Yeah.
And the plumbing associated with the gear system in there is a nightmare, from what I've been told. Some of the early ones had inner gear doors, so they could completely close it in. Well, that causes all sorts of problems if the sequencing valves start hanging up, because now all of a sudden your door doesn't open to put the gear away. So you have to have a mechanic that really knows them well.
I've got a 66 T-Bird that has that same problem when you open the trunk to put the top down. I wouldn't want that on an airplane.
Not at all. But what about the Bonanza versus the Piper Saratoga? Who would win that one, think, Clay?
I think they're probably pretty similar. Possibly an edge to the Saratoga, but if so, not by much. I think the Bonanza gear is pretty much based the same as the Baron gear, the twin engine version.
Mm-hmm.
And same with the Piper. The Saratoga gear is pretty much the same as the Seneca.
Yeah.
So they've got significantly beefier landing gear than the Cessna does. But it's sort of like the Ford, Dodge, Chevy.
Right, whatever you prefer, that kind of thing.
Yeah, everybody makes good airplanes. But,
yeah,
just pick two out of three and not consider the third.
That's true. I mean, I've always heard that the high wing airplanes are a little bit more forgiving, maybe easier to train in from the standpoint, like the stall speed is going to be lower than maybe a low wing plane. But in theory, if you're a good aviator, that really shouldn't be a big factor anyway, as long as you're well within the range of the runways you're trying to land on and take off on and stuff, right?
Yeah. And I mean, Cessna is generally, and I believe the 210 is the same, but they have huge flaps. So it gives you a low speed advantage and a low speed approach advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And every plane is different. Keith, the other Keith.
Yeah.
That I fly with.
Engineer friend Keith. Right.
Yeah, he was up here and he gave me a ride down because my plane just got the paint got touched up in Arkansas a couple of weeks ago. So after the show that we were at in Orlando, he picked me up in Arkansas and flew me back up to Casper in his 206 against like a 40 knot headwind, which was
the ground speed.
It was a very slow plane. It was only doing like 80 knots.
Yeah, okay.
It was Piper Cub territory.
Really.
But just the landings in that versus a Saratoga were very steep descents, huge barn door flaps, and it was I've flown 172s before. I've never flown the 206, but it was a whole different sight picture, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But
which would come in handy for him because he's flying throughout the Caribbean quite a bit.
He's got mud flaps on his plane.
Does he really?
Literally mud flaps.
Wow. Okay.
SDC's mud flaps, so he doesn't get cow turds on the bottom of the wings.
You don't want those.
And all that. Yeah, know. Probably not. But I'll tell you what. I mean, his plane is very nice and very comfortable, well set up, but I was missing that, you know, 170 knots in the Saratoga versus 123 in his.
Yeah, you're like, but, let's get there already.
Really, I'm peddling.
Are we there yet? Yeah. I don't care if you got cow poo on your wings. Let it come on. Let's make this thing go faster.
Really?
But all right. Well, that's interesting stuff. And I still can't figure out what I want. I mean, we were talking about this last week. You know, the Quest Kodiak versus the Grand Caravan. And now Cessna's coming out with like a Twin Otter type of thing.
I told you what you want. You're just not listening.
Well, I mean, I put the Piper Cherokee.
The Cherokee 6.
Yeah, I put that on the list, too. But I got all these choices. Too many choices.
The Cherokee 6 on floats, though, would be a really bit of a challenge for him.
Why do you say that?
The Cherokee 6 not on floats would be a little bit of a challenge for him.
Well, that may be. I think any
airplane at this point.
Exactly.
Thanks for the support, boys. And on that note, we'll end it. Remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.